A very good morning to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM, and welcome to we welcome you to join us. Coming to you live from the mighty region of Oshana, and coming to you live from the edge of Ondangwa town. So it's a beautiful morning, a beautiful Thursday morning. How are you doing wherever you find yourself in this pretty beautiful the land of the brave? It's a Thursday morning, the 22nd of January. Well, January is slowly, you know, getting away from us. So it's getting away from us. I think 2026, it's come with a speed. Yeah, it's just a few weeks ago, we kind of like, oh, Happy New Year. And then it looks already, January is already, it's only 1 week left before we say goodbye. Yeah, so welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us, especially at this time. We love being in your company, and hopefully you love being in our company. So we take a pleasure in this, you know, in keeping you updated and keeping you informed with what is going on in the world, in Namibia, and around the region. So welcome. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views then shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the story. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And as usual, so we look at what happened on this day in Africa. So let me welcome you to On This Day in Africa, the segment where we journey through the continent's past one day at a time. Now, today we have some powerful stories, stories of a conflict, story of courage, you know, story of change, you know. So we start today way back in 1879. It was a day that shocked the mighty British Empire. So at a place called Isandlwana in South Africa. So the Zulu army, you know, the Zulu army won a major victory against the British. So this wasn't just a defeat. Okay. This was not just any defeat. It was one of the worst the British ever suffered on African soil, and a huge moment in the Anglo-Zulu War. So, and moving on to 1984, still in South Africa, on this day, the United Democratic Front, the UDF. What happened to our UDF? So the United Democratic Front, known as the UDF, kicked off its million signature campaign. Now, the idea was that this was actually a powerful way for ordinary people to show they were against the apartheid government's new laws that were established. And it was all about uniting millions in South Africa to protest minority rule. So our next stop is in 1964. In 1964, on this day, Kenneth Kaunda took a big step on the road to independence for his country. He became the Prime Minister of Northern Rhodesia. By that time, it was called Northern Rhodesia. But that is not the end of the story. Just a few months later, he would lead the nation to freedom, rename it Zambia, and serve as its very first president. That's KK, Mr. KK. And in 1992, the world was watching as South Africa began to change. Now, on this day, two key leaders, Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk, were honored with the UNESCO Peace Prize. This award recognized their hard work and courage in working together to dismantle apartheid and bring peace to their nation. And finally, we come to 2009. A new chapter in international justice opened on this day. So the very first trial began at the International Criminal Court, or the ICC. The man in the dock was a Congolese warlord, Thomas Lubanga. And this trial was a historic moment, showing that the world was creating a new way, to address war crimes and conflict, and especially those taking place in Africa. So we were the first, the first case, of ICC. Yes, that's a look at the history that unfolded on this day in Africa. Join us again tomorrow on this segment for more stories from the heart of the continent. So, good morning. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And we're looking at today's Thursday, January the 22nd. What is our thought for the day? Our thought for the day: give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So that's our thought for the day. The proverb is a way of contrasting short-term help with a long-term empowerment. Now, giving someone a fish represent providing temporary help. It solves an immediate need, but only for a short time, maybe for just one day. Now, teaching someone to fish symbolizes teaching a skill or building capacity. So it equips the person to provide for themselves independently over the long term. So, in other words, helping someone learn how to help themselves is more valuable in the long run than simply doing something for them once. So the proverb encourages self-sufficiency rather than a dependence on external aid. So this is what our country should be trying to do, to be self-sufficient rather than becoming more dependent on external aid. So, yeah, teach a person, give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach him to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning to you, if you're just joining us. you're most welcome. So where are you listening us from? You could be listening us from outside of this country because you have the app. You know, you have Eagle FM mobile app. And if you don't, make sure that you download that so that you remain connected in case where you are. Sometimes you might be where there's no frequency. So the frequency is not coming through. So make sure that you have your app with you to continue listening to Eagle FM. So what do we have for you today? It's quite packed. Is the show today is very, very, very So make sure that you don't move away. You don't move an inch. So we will be looking to, we will be talking to someone. We will be talking to the secretary to the Ondonga Traditional Authority, looking at why many headmans, some headmans actually manage their village from the capital city or from anywhere outside their own villages. So can you lead your village from Windhoek office or somewhere else than in your village? That's what we're looking at. That would be very, very interesting to, you know, to end. My colleague from Windhoek, we will then be crossing over to Windhoek around 9 o'clock. My colleague HD will be talking to Lloyd Sikemba about the Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition 2026 that is scheduled to take place from the 22nd to the 24th of April 2026 in the capital. So we will be crossing to Windhoek for that, and make sure that you stay tuned for that as well. So yesterday, I wanted to talk about some Kwasa demanded strict accountability from local official. If we still have time, I'm going to sneak that in, you know. So if we find time for that. And do you know what? Your participation will also be part, as always, be part of the show. So make sure that you follow the Unpacking the Day. Unpack the Day with me. So coming up, we will be talking to Tate Nkali. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a short while.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. The winds of change are blowing through our traditional communities, stirring up a fascinating debate. So we are seeing a growing number of our traditional leaders, our chiefs and headmen, serving their people, not from the village, but from the capital or anywhere else. So they are ministers, business executives, and maybe diplomats. So, but the law
the Traditional Authority Act of 2000 seemed to say they must live in their community, in the community they lead. So what is more important, the letter of the law or the practical realities of modern leaderships? Now, to help us unpack this, we are joined by Mr. Franz Enkari, the secretary to the Ondonga Traditional Authority. Mr. Enkari, a very warm welcome to you.
Yes, very good morning to you too.
All right, Mr. Enkari, thank you for joining us. Just to get the overall picture, how common is the practice of headmen or any traditional leaders living in Windhoek while actually leading a village, especially under, maybe let's talk about under the Ondonga Traditional Authority?
Yeah, no, it's thank you very much for the question. Yeah, this question is a little bit easy from the face value.
Yeah.
But difficult that when we look at position of traditional leaders, outside or excluding the chiefs, the majority of people that are village head or head lady, that is not an employment.
Yeah.
That is just a position within the community for social responsibility to oversee leadership to the community within their area of jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Now comes the tricky part of it, that the majority of, as much as we are saying younger people should also take over.
Yeah.
The majority of young people, they are within the employment age. And then, despite the fact that they are employed, they have also their home seats within those communities. But they are not employed within that community.
Yeah.
So that is where maybe the challenge comes in. But given that one, again, when we look at village headmen or cluster headmen or district senior councillors, the issue is that they are not in leadership alone.
Yeah.
Even at village level, there are committees established to oversee the running or the administration of the village. And it's not solely dependent on the headman or head lady. But in the absence of the headman, being it because of employment opportunity, then the committee is entrusted with that responsibility to come together and deliberate on issues. Deliberate on issues that are affecting their village or cluster. And then when a decision can be made at that level, it needs only to be communicated. But as also they are sitting, that arrangement has to be communicated to the head person or the headman or the head lady.
Yeah.
So that the headman or the head lady is in the loop that they know what is happening there. Now, that doesn't necessarily then implies that the person is outside the area where they were supposed to provide leadership. Because leadership is not restricted to one person. And that is the understanding, the misunderstanding that sometimes people who are commenting about it, they are only looking at one person. But that person doesn't lead alone. They have got committee. They have got the village, the representative of the village headman or head lady.
Yeah.
That always have to go to the members of that community or within that village, tell them what to be done, tell them what is required, tell them on anything that affects that village. That's why there is no leadership point in time where there were leadership vacuum. Unless that village headman or head lady or their committee, those people, they are very already by themselves.
Yeah.
They are weak to an extent that they cannot provide leadership.
Yeah. So the practice seems to go against what the Traditional Authority Act stipulate. If you look at the section 2, D, it's pretty clear about residency requirement. Do you believe this provision is outdated for the modern Namibian leader?
I don't believe that it's outdated, but like I was explaining, the committee, all the members of the committee are from that village. And they know each other and they know each and every corner of that village. But again, the position of leadership is not only that, because I'm within the proximity, I can just become a leader.
Yeah.
There are people that are there. There are people that have been working for many, many, many years in institution, but they never become even managers. Because of what? Because of maybe lack of a capacity to lead at that level. Now, that being the issue, if there are people that can provide leadership and assist this community to progress traditionally, why is it so difficult to appoint a person that will be in good relationship with the community or with the village people and then provide leadership instead of just putting somebody for the sake of? Because again, a person to be appointed as a village head or, yes, a village head.
Yeah.
That person should have a clear record. Because if you put also a person who has got no clear record and his behavior is questionable, you're also creating a problem, because they will start, that particular individual within that village, they will start doing things that are not even supposed to be done at that level.
Mr. Nkali, on the other side of the coin, one would also ask, why would actually appoint a headman or someone who is not available 24/7 in your village? What could be the reasons of doing that? Even despite having the committees and other maybe the deputies, so what could be the reasons? Is it the caliber of the person? Is it the qualification of the person? What would be the reasons?
I think the reason should be seen from the caliber of the person or qualification of the person. And qualification, when I'm talking about qualification at a traditional level, is not in terms of how many master's degree or PhD the person is having. It's just the knowledge of working within the traditional community, the knowledge of the traditional norms and customs of that community. And that is the most critical issue that leadership at traditional level have to look at. Does the person have got also the capacity to lead all the people within that community?
Yeah.
There are people that can lead in terms of maybe documentation, but when you go to, because in the community or in the village, you are not only going to lead the young people.
Yeah.
You are not going only to lead those that are educated. You are not going to be the headman or head lady for those that are not educated. You have to have them all that are within, that constitute that community. They are all in. And you should be able to communicate and lead all of them and guide all of them in the way that the traditional authority should be run.
Yeah. Now,
that should be looked as a qualification.
Now, if we have headmen living outside of the village, how does things actually get done in a village on day-to-day basis? I understand there are committees or maybe deputies. Does the decision made by the committee or by the deputies, does that decision carry the same weight in the community?
The committee, normally they don't take decisions that need endorsement by the headman or head lady. They make decisions that are more generic to the community.
Yeah.
But if there are issues of, for example, of discipline, of law and order, those issues are scheduled, are put in the calendar, and then they are scheduled to say that this issue is going to be deliberated on this date. That being the case, the headman, the village headman or head lady, is also informed that there is this thing that is going to take place this day. Can you agree or consent to this as it is set to take place on that date, or should we reschedule it for another day that is suitable to you? And it's not that everything that is happening there is happening in their absence. Those are housekeeping issues, that day-to-day activities. Because also the village is not requiring every now and then guidance. It's only when something really affects the village or it is to the interest of the village that the people need to be spoken to. Otherwise, those are just guides to say that, oh, please don't quarrel anymore. And that doesn't just need a village head. The committee can do and say, no, let's maintain peace here. It's not something else that can maybe require rocket science to be passed. But those other decisions like the allocation of land and other issues, that one have to be taken to the village head, for the village head to be briefed and also to have information meeting with those people that are within the neighborhood of that, and then to make a decision based on the information that was provided or as it was reflected by the members of the community.
There is also that traditional understanding, or someone would argue that a leader physical presence, it's a pillar of our tradition. What is lost when a leader is not physically present in the community?
No, but otherwise also, I think my answer to this one might not be specific, but what I want to bring in is this.
Yeah.
Not only a traditional community, because we have seen now even people that I was born in the town where I am.
Yeah.
Whenever there is a position of a director or of a supervisor, it had to be occupied by those who were born there.
Yeah.
But if you go really to the issue and look at the person that is talking, it's only that the person has got a personal interest on something. It's not because really it is a problem. It's only that he or she is considering himself or herself to say, why I want also to occupy that space.
Yeah.
And again, when you ask a question, does the person qualify? Qualify being there, that is a qualification that the person should be a member of that community and within that community. That is one qualification, but that doesn't give us the capacity to lead.
Yeah. No.
The question again comes, is that person capable of leading others? Some people are also those that are involved in dubious activities. How can you, just because of the fact that he is within that community, one has to become a leader? There is only that leadership, normally when I look at it, is not just something that is given. Leadership is earned. And even if you are to become a leader, the people have to look at you and say, this person's behavior and character fits within this category of being appointed as a leader, because you have got the capacity to advise others and to guide others. And really, in most cases, you find people talking about, why are we taking from outside our community?
Yeah.
Are those with self-interest, those that think they want to be entitled, with also personal interest? The aim is not really to lead. The aim is to say, when a person wants to become, we have seen it even at political level, to become a councillor or whatever. Sometimes it's just that so that they can earn money. And traditional leaders at that level, they don't even earn money. There's no money there. If somebody goes there and is totally empty, that is how some also they start involving in selling off a portion of land outside the requirement of the law or the act.
Yeah.
So it has to be viewed or valued that if a person really have got the qualification, then it doesn't just start saying we are to take a person from outside the village.
Yeah.
What I have seen happening...
Mr. Nkali, we have to pay the bill quickly and we come back.
Okay. No, what I have seen happening is that...
Great news! Input just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. So welcome back. Sorry for that. We have to pay the bill. The you mentioned personal interest. We have seen prominent figures take up headmanship while maintaining other roles. There is a concern about serving their own interests, as you just said. How do communities ensure their leaders in the cities is still working for them?
Yeah, no, the whether or not the leader is working for them, it is up to that specific community. And again, there are platforms where the community also are gathering, and then they express their worries as to what are they seeing as a problem or challenge to their community.
Yeah.
And they are at liberty to say that at least our leaders here, or our headman or head lady, doesn't provide leadership for the village. And therefore, we need maybe a replacement. And I wanted just to start also by explaining how leadership is identified with specific reference to Ondonga Traditional Authority.
Yeah.
That in the absence of a village head, the people there, they used to be members of the community. They have got the right to present their credentials, those that hope or think or feel that at least we can take up that position of responsibility.
Yeah.
And then once those credentials or CVs are obtained by the senior traditional counselors, they are reviewed because they know everybody in those areas. And then after the review, if there is anyone who qualifies, normally they take from there. It's not that every leader that is taken or appointed is only outside that traditional community. So that process is still there.
Okay.
It is now through the review that someone is found suitable or someone is found not to be suitable.
Yeah.
Because it is reviewed on specific references that this is how he is, this is how he behaves, this is how he participates in community activities, and all those things. And some of the things also, like leaders that we are talking about, that they occupy a position, let's say it's a minister or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of the village, they need also development. This person sometimes is appointed so that one can initiate a developmental idea for that specific community in order for that community to be uplifted or to embark upon the route of development by its own people. Otherwise, if you just really put people, some people, they don't even have an idea of establishing anything.
Yeah. And what do you think, just on that a little bit, what do you think about the perception that an urban-based leader might be more detached from the cultural and customary issues that arises day in the village, that are arising daily in the village?
Yeah, no, I tend to disagree with that one because normally, the question that one have to ask is, how did they become urban leaders?
Yeah.
I have been working in Windhoek, but my home state is still in the north.
Yeah.
Where I am from. And being in Windhoek, I had to establish myself. I have to set up to build a house where my family can be. And that is not to say that I'm detached. It's only that employment opportunity that was there for me made it that I should have where I'm staying in that area.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean that I'm detached from the community where I come from.
Yeah.
Because I don't think in all earnest there is anybody who is appointed while staying, for example, just in Windhoek, and I've got no connection with the rural area. It doesn't happen. And I never seen it and I never heard it. It's only those people that are having dual, it's not citizenship, but dual, what is it, location.
Location,
they have a house in Windhoek or Swakopmund, but they also have a house in that village.
So there are also sentiments where some people think that this is powerful people collecting traditional titles for prestige. You know, what is your response on that?
Prestige, yeah, prestige for what? Because normally when we are talking about traditional issues, the only person that have got a prestige is the chief or the king of that traditional community.
Yeah.
The remaining, we are just servants of the community that we are assisting the chief or the king in carrying out their responsibility and also in maintaining law and order and peace and harmony within their community.
Mm.
And if that is to be seen as a prestige, yes, maybe, but it's just that the person would occupy a position of power, but which is taking him away.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about there is no salary that is entered. And sometimes you have the responsibility of seeing to it that those people who cannot, who do not have food to eat, traditionally we used to take care for them also.
Mm.
And that's why in the olden days, if a person had got no house, no kettle, doesn't cultivate, that person was never given to lead a village, because how are you going to support those who cannot? Because you have to have, you must have something that if the community collectively put something together and say, this is meant for those who do not have, like now the drought relief. The drought relief doesn't start with the government.
Yeah.
Like in Ondonga, we have got already the principle of drought relief for those who happen not to have a good harvest.
Mm.
And it used to be given to the headman or head lady. And it is now that head lady to see that in my village, if there are people that are starving, I have to take this and give them. But if you put somebody who do not have anything, the moment the people of that village collect something, they are the people to start feeding from that one.
Yeah.
And that was, that was the issue. It's not only just to live. There is a lot of responsibility that comes with it. Is it that a person can, there can be a dispute or quarrel amongst the people?
Yeah.
Is this person also going to be able to bring these people together and try to resolve that matter?
Mm.
And get them to continue with their life in harmony.
Yeah.
There are many things that used to be taken into consideration.
Basically, that point, it's one would ask, how do you ensure accountability when a leader is actually physical distant?
No, that's why I don't want it just to focus on that physical distance.
Yeah.
Because being a village man or village lady, it's not that every day you have to talk to those homesteads and say, no, do this, do that. It's not like you are in a military platoon or section.
Mm.
No, each one is on his own. It's only when necessary that the village has to sit. And they don't sit on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Only when it is necessary. And even if something happened today, just like within the employment relationship, something might happen today that requires disciplinary or corrective action.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean that the corrective thing has to be taken today. It will be scheduled.
Yeah.
That will be required to appear on this day. And that day that the person is appearing, the village head will be there.
Mm.
Also to listen. Or, again, what is happening, if it so happens that maybe the person is not available because of a reason beyond one's control, the neighboring village heads, they are also assisting each other.
Yeah.
If you don't hear a thing, just you as village headman alone, you call two or three neighboring village headmen, and then you listen to that problem, and then you advise each other, and from there a decision is made.
Yeah. Now, have you heard any complaint from the villagers themselves about absent leadership? Or is this just, is this more of a criticism coming from outside?
No, complaints are there, although not too many in number.
Yeah.
But complaints are also there of village head who are not doing anything.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they are staying in that community.
Mm.
They are there. Complaints are there. That this village headman or lady is always absent because one is located in some other areas.
Mm.
But there are also complaints that our village headman or head lady doesn't even qualify to be a village head because one doesn't find time to talk to the village, to the community, and there is no meeting held. It's just as long as the person is a village head.
Yeah.
Okay. And those are all parties complaints that need to be addressed.
Mm.
And that's why we don't only need to focus on those that are not there.
Yeah.
But we have only to focus on those inactive village head. Inactive, despite the fact that one is within the village or one is might be staying outside the village.
Yeah.
So there are also those that are really outside, but they are active.
Mm, mm.
You can even look at the incident that took place recently.
Yeah.
In Ondonga.
Mm.
The headman happened also to be an ED, but he went to his community to try to solve problems that are there.
Mm.
And that is showing that not only that the proximity means effectiveness in terms of carrying out their responsibility, but it's only to say that person, that particular person, village head, should be committed towards leading the people of his community or her community.
Yeah. Now, given the traditional authority act, you know, very clear on residency, do you think the traditional authority act need to be updated to better actually reflect the modern realities?
Yeah, no, just like any other legislation.
Mm.
And if you look at the local authority act, when was it
of 2000? Yeah.
You look at that year.
Mm.
If you say it's 2000, how many years ago now?
More than 25. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So, meaning that if there is, because to amend the act is not just because one is thinking of amending.
Yeah.
But we have to look at those things that are no longer compatible. Those that are no longer compatible with the current development.
Mm.
And those are the issues that maybe we need to look at and say, this clause or this section specific need to be amended to accommodate ABC.
Yeah.
That can be done.
Mm.
If there is one section that need to be amended, it should be amended.
Yeah.
Instead of just keeping it because we wanted to see that no person should just be there. There are people who can provide leadership, although they are not there.
Mm.
Because you can establish an office there, and an office is run by the secretary, and all the issues are put together, and then comes the need for us to sit for those things. Then we can sit and resolve those issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are the biggest challenges you face? I mean the traditional authority face in managing now this modern style of traditional leadership?
No, challenges, you know that human being cannot be fixed.
Yeah.
And now what one can look at as a challenge is that people try to equate. They try to equate traditional leadership to the government leadership.
Hmm.
And that's why And the misconception of the word democracy. That no, this is not democracy, this is not whatever, but tradition, they have to lead those communities in terms of the customs and traditions.
Mm.
And then where democracy is the cardinal point, especially to government, then they should utilize it there. But tradition have to be run.
Yeah.
The way those communities perceive it was to be run. And that is the only challenge to say that maybe if somebody is from government, then he's senior to the traditional leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But them also that are with government and from the traditional community, they are also within the village. And they have also to abide, despite the fact that what position are you occupying in mm-hmm. the government?
Yeah.
Once you are in the village and you don't have a position of power in the village, you remain a member of the village community. So those are the only challenge. But otherwise, the other challenge is that maybe they want to say, no, I cannot. Some they are saying, no, why is he made a village head while I'm the elder to him?
Yeah.
Because sometimes also traditionally people have to look at who is elder to whom.
Yeah.
But nowadays, even at traditional level, it doesn't also just go for who is elder and who is young. It's only going for who is regarded to be suitable to hold that position and lead others.
Yeah. So, Mr. Nkali, what is one thing you want our listeners to understand about this complex issue? Yeah.
No, what one can wish our people have to understand is just to say that the traditional leaders are just there for us to maintain peace and harmony within our community.
Mm.
And even if there are issues of land allocation, for those land allocation to be done in a manner that doesn't deprive the future generation. Because when you look at what the traditional leader have done, if it was not because of that leadership, there could have been no piece of land that is unoccupied today. And then that deprives the future generation of finding anywhere or any space where they can set, put their houses. So let us just look at them as people that are charged with their responsibility to manage our community. And they are doing it also on voluntary basis, so to say.
Yeah.
That they don't earn salary, despite the fact that the work is huge. There's a volume of work there, but they don't earn salary. But they are dedicated to guide the people and also to keep the people within the same spirit. That one of peaceful coexistence within the village.
Yeah. Now just something that just caused a reaction in me when you talk they don't end salary. Wouldn't be something that the traditional authority maybe looked at up in terms of, I know this is not something that the government maybe should be responsible, but how do we then integrate the service the traditional authority are doing, for people to somehow get some compensations?
Okay. Now, the issue that we can look at, for example, when it comes to dispute resolution, that resolving those disputes at community level, we are reducing the workload of the Justice Ministry.
Exactly, yeah.
Otherwise, all those petty things, each and everything that is happening at community or commonage level have to be taken to the justice system.
Yeah.
Of which then our court will be the magistrate or otherwise, they will be overcrowded. And it will take us too many years before we resolve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it has been handled, some of these issues have been handled at village level.
Yeah.
Or at cluster level or at district level. It make it easy to resolve the problem as soon as possible and the people to continue living in harmony after the resolution or the problem has been resolved.
Yeah.
But if we are to stay years and years while people are fighting here, then it will also make the situation difficult and sometimes even ungovernable, like politicians, they used to say.
Yeah.
It to make the situation to be ungovernable at community level. But now that the traditional authority is involved, most of the issues are resolved as early as possible to ensure that people continue with their lives and continue where there is no push and pull or people fighting one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that personally, I really think that's a very... given what the village head and the traditional are doing, should be incorporated in somehow to have some kind of, I'm just mentioning on top of my head, a village court or something like as you just rightly explained it. So at this point, do you have any other message that or any other things that I might not have asked you, do you think you deem to be very important to our listeners?
I think we have deliberated more in detail on the issues.
Yeah.
But what I will always emphasize is that it is said that a community that doesn't respect itself is bound to be ruled by other people. So let us just respect our traditional leaders. Mm. Let us abide to our customs and traditions.
Yeah.
Where they need also to be amended, we can amend where they can tend to be dysfunctional. Then we should be able to amend those and make it to a standard that is conducive to all of us as members of that community.
Yeah.
But respect for the traditional norms, respect for the traditional leaders, and let us respect ourselves. It's only when we can say this is the rule that we have set ourselves, let's abide. And it's because it is to the benefit of our community that this have to be done this way.
Yeah.
And nothing else. And that is the reason why traditional authority exists.
Mr. Franz Enkari, Secretary to the Ondonga Traditional Authority, thank you so much for taking time to talk to our listeners and for helping us unpack this important topic. So we appreciate you joining us on Unpacking the Day. Thank you.
I thank you also for having me.
All right.
All right. That's Mr. Franz Enkari, Secretary to the Ondonga Traditional Authority, looking at the whole question, the whole debate about, you know, about the growing number of our traditional leaders, you know, our chiefs, our headmen serving their people, not from their village, but from the capital or from anywhere outside of the village. So I'll open up my line. So come through before we have another interview at 9 o'clock, which is coming up. We will cross over to Windhoek, but we'll be back again. So
good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right. That's Mike.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to the Master Ikari.
Yeah.
Yeah, I analyze a lot of important elements when it comes to traditional authority.
Yeah.
But I have an issue here. My issue is that when you see the problem of the our traditional authority, the way they are turning things around now.
Yeah.
From the way we used to do things, that I see most of the people who are taking up the position to become headmen in village council and so on, people who are losing our position mostly.
Yeah.
After retirement or losing the position to be in the parliament.
Mm, yeah.
They go and fight, especially in the, I'm speaking first, especially in the Okwanyama traditional, but I see in the Ondonga also it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, I'm telling you, we used to have people who being groomed around these people. Wherever they know, one day I've been, the son knowing not going to sign on my head.
Just a quick question. What was the traditional way of actually appointing the headman or headwoman? Wasn't there any planning, a succession plan? Didn't we always know who will be the headman or will be the headwoman?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was. And you learn around this person when you're still alive.
Yeah.
So it's grooming you. But today, we have a selection of people. Sometimes we're even going for poll. Like what happened in Onga.
Yeah.
that's one of the examples.
Yeah.
That I'm saying, really, I think we are destroying ourselves. And if we don't learn carefully, this is what is happening already. Like now, they are even having they are doubling something in the parliament where the power have to come from the minister. Which is not supposed to be allowed. And I don't know how they feel about it.
Yeah.
But for me, I think it is the end of them. Once you give the power to the minister to decide.
Yeah, when it comes to land bill, something in the land bill. Yeah. Mm.
Just imagine now we are extending maybe the, you know, to Noma Kobemus. Now you have it to wait the approval from the minister. No, yeah. Man, no. It's what I think If they are not pulling with their socks now, they may end up just what stand. A person there just for standing, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Like a decoration, just a decoration. You are just a village, but you don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Eventually, if the ministry eventually one is the one who have to make that decision, definitely you are just allowed to go into a process that in the end you have no authority over the outcome, which will be actually fatal. Actually, in doing that.
It's what I'm telling you, my friend. And you know, the thing is that it's already happening. Huh? When it comes to this land, mining. It's happening because now the traditional authority, they don't have anything to say because their minister is the one who will give a clearance certificate.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about what he said, which I found that is very, you know, some disputes are already actually dealt with in the villages, you know, which prevent too many, you know, of dispute in court and things like that. And that would, as he said, that would take time for certain things, small petty things to be solved if it all have to go to the court. Now, how about really, why wouldn't that be integrated within the justice system, that the people who actually doing these are compensated, compensated on what they do.
You see, Mike, when we are growing up, because me, I grew up around my grandfather, which I used to transport him all over when they are going forward. It was a Hangwena village. I'm telling you, I know really, because I've been around, and sometimes I've even given a test. But the thing is that, they used to be getting something. Because remember one thing that if we have a dispute, me and you, Mike.
Yeah.
About even like, you lost your goat, then you think I'm the one who took it, and the evidence for it. So, once I got, they take me to, Awutashikano Matara. Now when they are deciding, for me to pay, it will be like a two goat. One for them, one for you.
Yeah.
And there, we're having a peaceful. Now, Mike, I'm getting arrested. Mike doesn't get anything. And Mike, he lost his goat with his stock. And he's planning even maybe when his kid going to institution is able to sell that goat. Now, I stole it.
Yeah.
And Mike, I'm around Mike because I pay bail.
Yeah.
Every time I'm even, we're having already a beef. You see? But once I pay off, and we're having a peaceful, we can shake hands. But now we have Mike is having what do you call it? That revenge with me. The rest of almost his life. That's why we are destroying the traditional method in which we live.
Yeah.
The home. And this is what I'm saying. It's a hard time our traditional leader to come up with their own court.
Yeah.
Because sometimes this is unnecessary. Some of them they take to what? To the police. And therefore the police are just about to pay. And that money is definitely end up with a victim coffer. End up to the government, and the corruption continue.
Definitely,
this really, I think, our traditional leader, they took all the other. And I'm not even advising them that it's a hard time sometimes that we do, where they are calling each other to meet without each politician involved.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I never heard Ukwanyama traditional going to visit even Ketimas, what the Koikoi. Just for discussion, how things are going that side. I see that sometimes that they just around Okwanyama, Ondonga, Okwambi, or Kavango sometimes. But I never see them coming together without a politician involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time I think they might have to discuss. They need to come up with a court to deal with their issue when it comes to the village.
Yeah, no, I think that need to be actually it would be a good idea actually. Yeah.
Yeah, very much, but, because sometimes these things are necessary to go a person who know. We know already that he's the one who took his my kingdom. But yeah, now we have to go to the police and this person has to be arrested. Once he's arrested, he's going to pay the bail. Then Mike just come in.
You don't get anything at all. Yeah.
Nothing at all.
All right, Ben.
Let's
see what others have to say or react to this. Yeah. Mm.
08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So you can come through or react to our discussion with Mr. Nkani, the secretary to Ondonga Traditional Authority. So yeah, as I promised, we're waiting for our guest on that discussion that is coming up at 9 to arrive. As soon as I arrived, then I will be crossing over to Windhoek for that discussion on the Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition 2026, which is actually scheduled to take place from 22nd to 24th of April, not June, 2026 in Windhoek. So as soon as they are ready in Windhoek, then we will be crossed over. In the meantime, you're most welcome to come through, react to the story, to the interview that we have, and or your contribution overall, you know, how you see this whole thing of headmen's, you know, leading their villages from outside the village itself. So how do you see that? So is that something against our traditional way of doing things, or we need to look at a modern way of leadership? So our telephone number 08-333-66-091. You are welcome to come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any.
All right, we are crossing to Windhoek to my colleague H8 for HD for the next segment that we have for you coming up right now. So I'm crossing to Windhoek and we will be back in 30 minutes. So stay tuned for this interesting interview that is coming up.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafathana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotitha mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma.
All right. Thank you very much, Tata Mike. As you said, we are now joined by Mr. Lloyd Sikeba, the conference coordinator for the upcoming Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference. Lloyd, thank you very much for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. So let's get right into it so we don't take up too much of Tate Mike's time.
Yes.
Let's start with what is this cybersecurity and why should Namibians be interested in this upcoming conference?
So first of all, it's just to start off, it's very important that we understand that cybersecurity is a very, very important aspect, especially not just for companies
mm-hmm.
or for government, even us as individuals,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what this cybersecurity is all about, it's a 3-day event, or should I say 4,
yeah.
whereby it's a cybersecurity as well as conference as well as exhibition.
Okay.
Now, it looks at that is a you know, investing, it is one of that is, it serves as one of Africa's largest gathering in terms of, focus basically on cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Bringing together that is, government officials, tech experts, international specialists,
mm-hmm.
industry leaders, as well as, the public to address the rising digital threats and yeah. as well as building collaboration that is for a safe digital future, if I must put it in that context.
Yeah.
Now, some of the things that one might wonder as to why this cybersecurity is that it highlights that, you know, cyber threats, you know, are now becoming more and more, and they affect individuals, businesses, and also national infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why this is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you said it's one of the biggest in Africa. So it's not just for Namibians, it's actually for the continent as well.
Yes, it's open for the, and we've actually had continent experts,
mm-hmm.
you know, come from all over, that is the continent, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, you know, you name it, we've had them that is to attending the conference.
We actually have a call on the line already, let's see what they have to say. Eagle FM, good morning. Eagle FM, hello. All right, do call back if you want to ask Lloyd a question or two about the conference. The number in our studio here is 0832 888 401. Now, Lloyd, speaking now of the conference, let's take it back a bit for those that don't know. What is cybersecurity and why is it something that the average person should be aware and cognizant of?
Now, when we come to understanding what cybersecurity is, it refers mm-hmm. to the tools, practices, as well as technologies used in terms of protecting computers,
mm-hmm.
networks, programs and data from attacks,
yeah.
as well as damage and also unauthorized access.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's for the people in the community or anyone that does not know cyber. Most of the time when we speak cyber, we think, no, it's things that is for IT people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it affects even the ordinary citizen, even your child as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your child can have access to the internet and then the attack that is by a cyber, that is a hacker.
Yeah.
And then that gets into their phone and then it tries to expose them and say that, okay, if you don't take a picture of this, if you don't do this, then we're going to do this to you.
Yes.
Or we're going to post this. Now, hence, at the end of the day, they attempt to comply to what is being told to them.
Yeah.
Then those attacks become very aggressive. Now, just a little bit to give a more context, when we understand as to what is this cybersecurity all about, you see, in a world where banking is, we've seen how our parents, grandparents have been, you know, robbed of
yeah.
their money. You know, in the previous years,
exactly.
as to their pension money and all this. And this is all done through cyber attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this also shows you that, you know, there's a level of education, a level of awareness, and there's a level of security, you know, strengthening that is needed in such areas.
Yeah.
Not only that, it also looks at the, you know, communication aspect and also education. Picture it as to what happens when your communication, you know, documentation for a company is hacked.
Yeah.
You know, whoever has access over it can actually request a lot of lump sum money
mm-hmm.
from you just for you to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it will cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this in a nutshell as to cyber threats, the different things like scams. You also look at things like, you know, ransomware. You also look at breaches and also data and fraud.
Yeah.
Now, they are identified as theft that can also impact anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important, especially in this ever-increasing digital world, that we are aware of the threats out there and how to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
So speaking now of last year's conference, last year was the inaugural conference.
Mm.
What were some of the positives that came from last year's conference, and perhaps what lessons did you learn that you will maybe implement for this year's conference?
Wonderful. So this year is the third.
The third. Yes.
So last year was the second edition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the beauty about Namibia Cybersecurity Conference is an exhibition is that every year we keep leveling up. Every year we keep bringing the best.
Yeah.
And as well as a serving that is the Namibian, the nation, as well as the continent, and even you can call it a globe.
Yeah.
With, that is, cyber expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we reflect that is to last year's conference, 2025, it drew over 70 international speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to look into that, it's not just any ordinary speakers. These mm-hmm. are experts within their field. So 70, that is cyber experts, and also 40 plus international speakers, and also discussions around that is strategies for protection, innovation, and also collaboration.
Yeah.
We also had that as government officials, including that as a, you know, ministry, you know, the MICT, that is representatives, and also different aspects of ministries that were present.
Mm-hmm.
Now, introducing locals to digital tools such as mobile apping reports systems, and also from scams, and also receiving real time that is safety alerts.
Yep.
And this was also focused more on policy reform and workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think some of the things that stood out, if we have to put that, is the dynamic speaker lineup.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dynamic speaker lineup of the conference with international and also regional experts that were sharing insights in terms of threats, mitigation, and also best practices. Mm-hmm. Another aspect was the launch of public tools and awareness initiatives to empower citizens and also SMEs to become that is cyber resilient. And also you get to see that last year's conference also looked at concrete discussions about legal reforms like ongoing cyber crimes and data protection. Like what happens now if someone, you know, steals your money from your bank, or where do you go? How do you report it?
Exactly.
Or maybe someone hacks into your Instagram account. Yeah. What do you say to the police station?
100%.
You know, so some of these things are quite important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, last year after the conference there was a, can I call it maybe like a booklet or something that was released for public consumption?
Yes
sir. So we'll make sure to put that on our social media pages as well, if the public would like to go through some of the insights that were provided last year. And as you said, there'll be speakers from all over the world that, like, the last two conferences, I recall there were partners such as Amazon Web Services. Were there. So, looking at this year, who are some of the speakers that, the public can look forward to at this year's conference?
Now, looking at this year's conference, this year we've gone more bigger, and, the lineup of speaker keeps on getting even interesting.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm to speak just to start off just with a little bit of day one, you get to see that is cyber awareness experts, such as, you know, we'll be talking around cyber hygiene and everyday protection. I'm talking about the vice president of ISACA, South Africa. Now, if you know, for people in IT, you know that ISACA is one of those regulatory boards that, you know, gives a certification into the cybersecurity web, you know, space. So we have that is Mr. Movango, who will also be presenting on that day. We're also looking at, we also have another speaker, that is Dr. Monica Nehemia, who will be talking about the dark web uncovered.
Mm.
You know, why it matters and what in the real world. I know many of us might have heard, you know, there's the dark web and all this.
Yeah.
There's the other internet without that other people don't know. So she'll also be touching on this aspect. We also have that is the vice president of ABSA, South Africa, also coming to Namibia. That is Ms. Fundi.
Okay.
That is Rarane. And not only that, when we look at some of the speakers that we also have IT audit specialist from Ghana.
Mm.
That is Mr. Samuel Mensah, who will also be speaking about cyber risks, audit, and also government perspective. So obviously, from a government perspective, I would want to know as to what's really happening in that space. How do we work better on that?
Yeah.
But not only that, we also have a variety of speakers. Now, we're also looking at that is a... We have, Grace Letsa, that is the head silence that is at Festrand in South Africa, that is FNB.
Yeah.
Who will be speaking on lessons from national cyber incidents.
Now, what's
beautiful about this, you know, when you have lessons, it's not a story of, no, this is what happens, but it's an experience of what happened.
A real life situation,
how you can actually go about it.
Yeah.
And we'll just to look at other aspects. We also have speakers from Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
That is Kanda Kwashe, who will also be speaking on artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and emerging threats.
Mm-hmm.
And also the CISO, that is of old group CISO Old Mutual, that is from Zimbabwe, that is Mr. Victor, that is Krishiri, will also be speaking. And another one that's also interesting, no, just for women empowerment,
yeah.
I like to put it out there, is that we'll also have women in cybersecurity and youth. This will be presented, that is by Ms. Tseho Fatso.
Mm-hmm.
That is, she's a senior cyber and information specialist, that is in Sage, South Africa. Now, just to bring it, maybe now one might be wondering, it, what about the locals?
Yeah.
You know, what about our own? So we have, I'm not quite sure if we are acquainted with Nupresh.
Yeah.
So he'll also be presenting that is from cybersecurity to cyber poverty,
mm-hmm.
you know, Africa Digital. Mm. So Nupresh is the managing director of Facilit 8,
yeah.
that is private limited company. And we also have that is Mr. Jason, that is Simon, the chairperson of NCCI,
okay.
Maruru branch.
Okay.
And also looking at we also have that is the CREN representatives, you know, whereby there will be a plenary session,
yeah.
where a panel discussion whereby we have that is speakers from that is the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereby we're looking at a brief discussion on a national key asset protection and also landscape, or should I say threats landscapes in that aspect.
Yeah.
And bringing it down, it's full, it's jam-packed, but just to go through, just so that everyone listening gets to hear that, okay, we also have our own having to present.
Mm-hmm.
We also have that is lectures that are presenting, you know, that is from different universities that will also be present, mm-hmm. just to highlight a few.
Will the MICT be on board this year as well?
Yes.
100%.
The MICT will also be on board because we have reached out, that is, to government officials. We have been sending emails. And maybe for those that are listening, yes, some emails are still being sent. We're still to visit some of the offices just for those official invitees and to invite
mm-hmm.
because it's... We've taken this more as a serious, you know, national agenda, international, continental agenda.
100%.
And we don't want anyone to be left out.
Exactly. Yes. And so now in terms of the public attending this, give us some details on, firstly, when the exact dates of when it is happening. How can people register? Is there like, is there things like corporate tickets available, individual tickets available? Where should they go to register and so forth?
Wonderful. So in terms of the event, the Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition will be taking place on the 22nd to the 24th of April,
mm-hmm.
2026.
Okay.
Now, it will be taking place at Arabush or Travel Lodge, that is in Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the format in which it will be taking place, there is it's a masterclass, and then we have strategic and technical conferences and also exhibition on policy dialogues, panel discussions,
yeah.
you know, top executives and also a cyber gala dinner.
Mm, okay.
Now it's open to the members of the public, as you said. Now mm-hmm. the early bird registration ends on the 31st of March, 2026.
Okay. So people still have time.
Yeah, people still have time. Now for those that would like probably that is to register, you can simply just go on our website. That is at www.dstech.com.na. I'll repeat that. www.dstech.com.na. Now that is for registration. For those that are keen or interested in registering, that is for the cybersecurity conference.
Mm-hmm.
We also invite exhibitors because why we're also encouraging exhibitors. It's an international continental conference.
Yeah.
That is the largest in Africa being done in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So as a corporate, you might want to showcase your company's, you know, products and, you know, what you do, the services you offer.
Yeah.
And mind you, it's going to be seen not only just by we as a Namibian, but also by the international space and the continental, you know, audience
mm-hmm.
that will be coming. Now, so it's very important also to grab that opportunity.
Yeah.
They say visibility is the most important aspect in terms of service delivery and also just to letting the world out there know as to what you do and what you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But now just to touch on the aspect of the prices as to what are the prices for one to, let's say, maybe register or if they would like to be part or to attend the conference.
Yeah.
All this are stipulated on the, they're stipulated on the website and, one can just browse through to see in which category they fall. There is student packages, there is corporate packages, and there is even, that is a benefit of those that are coming from industrial aspect, whereas in, let us say you want to come as a group.
Okay.
There are also different packages around that,
mm-hmm.
that covers in those areas, and also even the executive gala dinner.
100%. Lloyd, is there anything else that I maybe perhaps didn't ask you that you would like to share with the listeners before we cross over back to Tate Mike?
I think just to before we cross over, I would like to leave this here. You mm-hmm. know, the 2026 Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference is a premium continental platform.
Yeah.
Very, very important to understand that. So
yeah.
It's we're not taking it lightly because we're bringing that is policymakers,
mm-hmm.
regulators, critical infrastructure operators, industry leaders, academia, cybersecurity professionals, the youth and students to strengthen Africa's Cybersecurity Resilience and Digital Trust.
Yeah.
For far too long, we haven't had frameworks in many African countries, even Namibia, as to what happens when this happens.
Exactly.
You know, and understanding something first before you bring in a policy is much more better to actually push, and also making sure that people understand how impactful this is. Cybersecurity is increasingly moving at a fast pace.
Yeah.
So the more it moves at a fast pace, we too as a people need to understand how do we better work on this.
Exactly. And actually, one last question before we cross over, as I was listening to you speak. Since the conference started, this is now the third one. How would you say the cybersecurity landscape in Namibia now specifically has either progressed or maybe even regressed since this conference started? Has there been improvements in our space? I know policy-wise, we don't really have anything concrete in place yet, but in your view, how have things developed in that space since the start of this conference?
I think when it comes to the start of the conference, there is awareness that is rising gradually.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see that back in the days, we were linked to clickbait.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
I sent, people just click. But now people are more like, wait a minute, let's find out.
Yeah.
You know, you even get to see people that would even try and ask, you know, within us within the cybersecurity space, like, hey, I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on this? And even from the previous conferences, we've even had people present as to if it's not from ours, if it's not from our social media platforms, please do not say take it with. You know, just say don't agree with it.
Yeah.
You know, and currently people are now also being aware and alert.
Mm-hmm.
And also reporting cases of cybersecurity, because we from the DSTEC technology, from that is Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, we have a site where, as in one, you can report. Remember I said this, you can report a cyber, you know, threat, so that once you report it, we have it on our system so that everyone can see that, okay, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, currently the one thing that's trending is that of WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You know, you might get the SMS from WhatsApp saying that, no, this is your WhatsApp. If you want to retrieve it, please click on this link.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moment you click on that link, basically your WhatsApp, you are giving authorization for your WhatsApp contacts and everything to be given to someone.
Yeah.
And recently I had a close friend actually, whereas in his WhatsApp was, you know, being controlled by someone else. The picture is his. And the person from the other hand, the cyber attacker, could even write my name and say, hi, Lloyd. I wanted to ask, I'm campaigning for this and this, and I wanted your approval. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly.
Now, if you do not know all these things, you become a victim. Yeah.
Very quickly. Yes, thank you for that, Lloyd. And once again, for the listeners listening, don't click on foreign links and make sure to register for the cybersecurity conference. Be in attendance, as Lloyd said, Africa's biggest cybersecurity conference, very important issue. And I'm sure we'll have Lloyd back before the conference starts again. There's many packages available for you to access, whether you're an individual, a student, a business, an enterprise. So let's make sure to support this. And thank you very much for your time, Lloyd. And we'll hand over back to Tate Mike now.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, yes. Welcome back. Welcome back to Ondangwa, and thank you, HD, for that interview. That was the session on Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibitions that is actually scheduled to take place sometimes in April, actually on the 22nd to the 24th of April 2026 here in the capital. Make sure that you register to participate. And I think it's a very, very interesting conference, and for you actually to take part in that conference. So we continue. So we open up our line for this. If you didn't get a chance actually to talk about the cybersecurity conference exhibition, you didn't get a chance to call, please continue, call in to ask or add or ask questions that we can always send back to Mr. Lloyd. And also the previous discussion that we have, the interview that I have with Mr. Nkali. So do come through, 08333. We come back now. We are back in the, in Ondangwa studio. So not in Windhoek. Don't call Windhoek. Even if for the, if you want to ask about Namibia's international cybersecurity or comment or whatever you want to say, Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference or Exhibition. So call here at 08333-66091, 08333-66091. And also the previous discussion that we have with Mr. Nkali, Franz Nkali, the secretary to the traditional authority, to Ondonga Traditional Authority. So do come through, 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, a very good morning to you. Our time is about 27 minutes past the hour of 9. And we just have two interviews in today's session. I mean, in today's program. So, what is your take? First of all, what is your take on the just concluded interview that HD, my colleague in Windhoek, had on this conference and exhibition that is coming up? So, do come through and have your say. And also earlier on, we were talking about an increasing practice of a headman and maybe traditional leader in some other regions who are, you know, leading their location, leading their villages and their traditional localities outside of the area. So, and we look at so many things, look at so many aspects in the interview. So, but overall, what do you think about it? Overall, what is your take on that? What is your perspective or your contribution to the topic in general? It has been covered in other publications as well. So you probably have an idea what we're talking about. And today, just we had a discussion on the conference. That is coming up in April, coming up in April on 22nd, to 24th of April this year. So the Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition 2026. So when we come back, we will have quick commercial, and then when we come back, maybe we touch on something different. So stay tuned.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etepa weda ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba. Ona ovyume vya peke ko rondola omirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe. So, kwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente omirongo ivari na dano. Pamiyede mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu zima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyanu kife. Ashiesho imba te kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right, good morning, and welcome back. You are most welcome to come through. As I said, we are now back in the Ondangwa studio. Our telephone number is 0833-0833-66091. So on the two stories that we have covered so far, you are most welcome to come through and have your reaction or your contribution on those two. But we can't stand still. This is a story I wanted covered yesterday, but we didn't have time. Maybe we can look at it. It's about this week. The Minister of Urban and Rural Development, James Sankwasa, stood up in front of the councillors and officials in Rundu and said something we have all been thinking for. We have all thinking for a very, very, very long time. He said some of our local authorities has become, and I'm quoting here, ATMs for known tenders. So that's what he said. ATMs for known tenders. So ATM culture. And now let's start with that ATM comment. You know, it's a heavy, you know, it's a heavy visual when you think about it. You know, imagine your local municipality office. And you go there to pay your water bills, thinking that money will fix the pump. And instead, the minister is saying that money is being treated like a personal bank account for tenderpreneurs and officials. So that's why he referred to as a ATM for known tenders. So that money you are paying, so it's actually being treated like as I said, a personal bank account for tenderpreneurs and officials. So for years, I think we have seen a pattern, you know. The pattern that we have seen is that you see, you know, a contract is awarded. To fix, let's say, for example, a contract is awarded to fix a road. The money leaves the council. But the road stay broken. And you wondering why still the road still broken? And there are a lot of examples, you know, of that, because the funds are being bled dry by what the minister actually called personal enrichment. So we are talking about now substance and travel allowance, you know, the SMT, the famous SMT. So this is one thing that really bled dry the councils. And that's what the minister is actually referring. So how does this happen? So how does the council or an institution meant to serve the people turn into a private cash machine, if you like. So how does it turn into a cash machine? Actually, this is a story. This is coming from a story, by Anacleta Haikera yesterday, in yesterday's edition of The Villager. So yeah, you can go there, and read and be subscribe to The Villager. To be able to receive a free copy. It's for free. It's from, you know,
the good heart of Eagle Media House, you know, giving you this for, you know, for free. So yeah, let's get to the caller and then we continue this. Good morning, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello, are you there? Whoop, I cannot hear you. Hopefully it's not something from my side. Yeah, so let's check that again. Good morning. Good morning. What's going on? I'm not hearing you. Can you hear? Possibly it's not. I don't think it's my line. I spoke to who did I speak to? I spoke to Mandume, I think, earlier on. It's not my line. It could be his or her line. Yeah, do try again. Maybe try with a different line. See what happened. Or someone else call and see what is happening. So yeah. 0833-66091. If you wanna come through and have your say on some of the story that we have covered so far. And also maybe you wanna also just have comments on what we're talking about. So 0833-66091. So as we said, how does the council, I think the council, the institution, the council has, you know, which supposed to serve, the people as the minister have said, turn into a private cash machine, you know, well, and it happened in two ways. Okay, it happens in two ways. The big obvious way is through corrupt tenders. So a company, maybe one owned by a friend of a councillor, you know, a relative of a senior manager, so will bid for a project. Let's say it is to build a new market. Now, they might submit a ridiculously higher price, but because they have a connection, you know, they get the contract. So that is the first withdrawal from the ATM. That's what he's referring to as becoming an ATM, tender, ATM for tenders, you know. So that's how it happens. Okay. That's the first withdrawal from the ATM. And they might use a cheap material. You know? They might use a cheap material to do a terrible job, not even finish the work at all. We have cases where the job is not finished at all, but they get paid in full. The job is not done, but they get paid in full. So that's the second, even bigger withdrawal. You know, the community is left with a half-built market and a lot less money for everything else. So this is what the minister actually referring to, you know. There are these ways, as I said, these are ways that the councils become ATM for tenders or for those that are connected to people in the council. So, but there's also another, you know, let's say a slower, quieter way the money disappeared too. You know, the minister spoke about funds being diverted for traveling allowance, the S&T. Now, of course, officials need to travel. Okay. Don't get me wrong. They need to travel for work. But what we see happening are councils spending huge portion of their operational budget on trips. Well, and sometimes to conferences that add very little value. You know, that's what the minister said. You know, people go to this conference and those conference add no value at all to what, you know, to what they do, to their work. Eh? Just actually to claim the SMTs. So you see how the, you know, the council becomes actually a cash cow, you know, for these people. So, yeah, he also even plane ticket to Windhoek, every hefty, you know, substance allowance claimed. You know, so when that happened, it's a dollar that is not being spent on buying, let's say, for example, a new pump for water system or fixing the street light in your neighborhood. So all this money spent, you know, the SMT that have been claimed for useless trips, for a trip that had very little value. Actually, that's a dollar that is not spent on something that is substantial, something that, like as I said, a new pump for the water system, you know, or any other facilities or any other, you know, infrastructure. So that's why you say it is slow. It is a slow, steady drain justified by paperwork. You know, legally, it is justified by paperwork. But it is drain. It is a drain that is slowly starving our communities of the basic services that they need to survive and thrive. So that's how town council become and the council become a cash cow. So now Sankwasa mentioned three big pieces of law. So he mentioned the three big pieces of law, the Local Authority Act, the Regional Council Act, and the State Finance Act. Okay. Usually when politicians talk about acts of parliament, our eyes glaze over. Okay. Mm-hmm. But listen closely because this is the teeth of the story. Okay. This is the teeth of the story. Now, the minister isn't just saying, please stop. No, he's saying, you know, there is a law and the law is saying pay it back, you know? So it's not just about, okay, no, stop doing that. No. There is a law. There's a State Finance Act. Eh? And the law is saying you have to pay that back. Now, under the State Finance Act, there's a concept called surcharge. Okay. Now, if an official wastes or loses government money through, let's say, for example, through negligence or corruption, the state can legally actually reach into their pocket and take it back. Yeah? It isn't there. So they can reach in their pocket. And said, pay this back. Actually, in many ways that they can do that. So if a councillor approves, let's say, for example, approve a shady deal that costs the town, let's say $3 million. The government is now saying, we are coming for your salary. Eh? We are coming for your salary. And this is a massive, 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 massive shift, you know. So otherwise that time, historically, if a money went missing, there was a disciplinary committee that drags on for years. The person stayed on full pay, you know. The person still stayed on the full pay. And eventually the public forget. Yeah? Eventually we forgot. And then Sankwasa is now signaling an end to that business as usual. So he's signaling an end to that. And long live, Mr. Sankwasa, long live that idea. So yeah, he's signaling an end to that business as usual. So he's targeting the one thing people care about, they care about most, their own bank account. We come back after this commercial.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. We're looking at Mr. the Minister of Urban during when he was addressing the councillors, the new councillors at the induction workshop in Rundu. So as I said, he is here on this aspect that we're looking is really signaling an end that's business as usual. Has to come to an end, and he's targeting now the one thing I think people, if you don't touch their pocket, if you really don't get into their pocket, why would they bother? So why would they bother? So I think people care about their they care about their bank accounts, and I think that's where that's where the minister is targeting, and let's hope this will make a difference, because to be honest, we haven't seen much done. You know, we really haven't seen much done. Now, year after year, we see the editor's general release. I mean, the editor general releases reports, that are filled with examples of bad management, irregular spendings, plain old corruption, and you know, corruption in the councils all over Namibia. So we have seen that in the auditor general's report. So, and too often those reports just gather dust on the shelf somewhere. Yeah. We just imagine how many of them that we have, we recently that we looked at. Do you hear any, have you heard anything, something being done about, you know, those money that has been, mismanaged or, misappropriated or, yeah? Have you heard anything? Or someone being punished or someone being fired? Yeah? Because that's our money. And nothing is being done. So as I said, those reports, most of the time, they just gather dust somewhere. So the big question is this time different? Is that going to be different? Is there finally the political will to enforce these rules? Eh? Even when it means even if it means going after some powerful people, we must enforce these rules. That's public money. And some heads need to spin. We need to see the heads spinning. It shouldn't be as business as usual. We have been told that, but we need to see that, yes, this is not as business as usual. So now the minister is trying to draw a line in the sand, as they said. Okay. He's trying to draw the line in the sand. The nation is watching. We are watching to see if anyone, you know, has the courage to actually cross it and face the music. That's what we want to see. Cross it and face the music. There has been crossed, but we need to see if, you know, they will face the music. That's what we want to see. So, and he also talked about the hypocrisy of the unpaid bill. He pointed the finger right at the heart of hypocrisy, and here is a relatable scenario for you. Okay, now you miss your water payment. Let's say by 2 months. Okay. You miss your water payment for 2 months and NamWater cuts off your water. You are bathing out of a bucket. Okay. So meanwhile, the very councillor who voted for that strict debt collection policy, you know, owes the council $50,000 in unpaid rates for their own house, you know. Now, the minister didn't hold back here. He revealed a staggering level of hypocrisy. So he is instructed that any councillor who owes money will have it deducted directly from their allowance. Let's see what the caller have to say. Hopefully this time come through. Good morning. Good morning. Then it could be me. It could be on my side. Can you hear me? What is going on? Can you hear me? I really can't hear you. That means it's on, probably it's on my side, or is the same person calling? All right. I'm sorry, man. I can't hear you. I'm sorry, man or woman. I'm sorry. I cannot hear you. Everything is fine on this side. I don't know. Everything is okay. I don't see anything wrong yet. Good morning. Good morning. Something is not good. Okay, with my line or... All right. About 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. 08333 66. Maybe someone else try to call and see if it's maybe the same person trying to call, and then we can't something, maybe something on his own line. Yeah, but I don't know what to do. Everything is fine here. Perfect fine. As I said, I received a call earlier on. I don't know what is going on. All right. So, but try and see what, whether you come through. Good morning. Good morning. I can hear you. No, I can't hear you. Good morning. Are you there? Yeah, I can hear something from you, but I can't hear your voice. No. I think it's his line. All right. Because I can hear some sound. I can hear some sound in the background, but I can't hear the voice. All right. Maybe check out if there's a mute, any mute on your phone or something like that. So. Yeah, so, yeah. Good morning.
Voice. All right.
I can hear you now. I can hear myself.
You can mute on your phone or something like that, so.
Good morning. I can hear myself. What are you trying to do? All right. So... All right, our time is about 54 minutes past the hour of 9. Make sure that you stay tuned, because at 10 o'clock we will have Kutha Mosha with Tate Naluvanda. He hasn't come through yet. Yeah, but make sure that you tune in for that show coming up in a short while. So, yeah. Yeah, the minister, as I said, he showed that hypocrisy, you know, that and he has instructed that the councillor who owes money, so the councillors, those who owes money, will have it deducted directly from their allowance. Okay, let's try this last time, and if it doesn't work, that's it. Good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. Now you have tuned it. Now maybe you have pressed a different button now.
No. I think I just nothing changed. I just do what I was doing. Yeah.
I see. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I could hear you, but you could not hear me.
Oh no! I didn't do anything different.
The last time I heard you talking is only after the interview with Mr. Ngari.
Yeah.
And then I think Gabriel. From there,
Yeah.
So otherwise,
you couldn't hear the radio? The radio wasn't on, or what?
No, the radio was on.
Oh, okay.
But whenever I was calling, I could not hear you.
All right, okay, go ahead then.
So now, yes, I think it's now fine. But there is also negligence in terms of the upkeep of the village head or those, maybe, I don't know, the committee members.
Yeah.
They may be gainfully employed, or the most of them are actually from the constituency, and you find out that they don't get really an income.
Hmm.
You have to keep them to accompany their leadership roles, performance.
And where do they get the income? From the traditional authority, or where do they get the income?
In fact, I don't even know. They're supposed to get, because if the act is in line with everything, and in terms of the compensation.
Yeah.
So yesterday, one of your colleagues was talking about compensation through content and all these other things, but here we are talking about leadership performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are there providing the leadership, the direction, and all these other things. Whether it has to come to security and all these other things. So how do you even protect them?
Yeah, because
the personnel that are there now assigned to them, just like any other leader.
Yeah, Ms. Nkali especially was saying that they do this for free.
Yeah. You see, it's why do you have to make it? Because if you are making it free, then the person will not, just because the person does voluntarily, whether the work is done or not, they manifest that don't care attitude.
Yeah,
exactly. After all, it's not compensated for anything.
Yeah, it's true.
So even when it comes to dispute and whatever the things, because sometimes it might even cost you a lot.
Attention all aspiring students.
Something just popped up. Just hold on a few minutes.
To announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na
or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM. A Namibian university dedicated to its people's future. All right. Okay.
Where they get their income, actually, usually, I think in the past, I don't know whether it's still a practice. So when somebody dies in the village, the house, and all this thing, when you pay, and this is not actually, it's not only 600.
Yeah.
And that one, how many people are going to die in your village, how much is going to... I'm just saying that if there is a structure...
Yeah.
To finance the traditional leaders and all this around. Are the traditional leaders not? There was even a time when they were provided with vehicles.
Yeah, the chiefs and now the leaders, the chiefs and the kings and all that. Yeah.
The chief and the king's, the queen's leadership position, which is servicing and all. all yeah. this protocol and other issues that I'm just saying is I shouldn't be a problem because to mobilize the resources for them, financial resources, and just make sure that the leadership duties are discharged
yeah.
effectively and everybody secured, no dispute of land and things like that.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether you can be somewhere since you are working together as a corrective leadership.
Yeah.
But then there must be some kind of compensation or whatever the case might be. Are you saying that you cannot create a... Because if you are... Decentralization includes also fiscal decentralization.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think they can also see how they can finance their activities and things like that.
All right, man.
Welcome, sir.
Thanks for coming through.
Cool, cool.
All right. And that's bring us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM. So, Dr. Nelvanda has just come through and, I will hand over to him, come up with Kuthamosha. From me, Michael Shaveli, until tomorrow, it's goodbye.